The Tom Woods Show, episode 1562.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Get ready for Contra Cruise 2020. This is the fifth cruise economist Bob Murphy and I have hosted together, and it is always a blast. And this year will be no different. Scott Horton and Dave Smith are joining us as special guests. Can you imagine spending a week having a blast with these guys on board a beautiful ship with a bunch of like-minded folks? It's going to be fantastic. Check it out at ContraCruise.com. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. Last episode of the year. Of course, last day of the year. And I will be resuming in full force on Monday, January 6th. Remember, in past years, all the years I've been doing this is my sixth year, or I guess it's been over 6 years of doing the program. I've taken about 2 weeks off at Christmas time. So by having a few episodes scattered throughout this period, I've actually improved on my record in the past. But taking a few more days off, then we'll start again on Monday, January 6th. What I want to do today, some people may think I shouldn't do, but I've been quiet about this for a long time, like years. So I think, why not, right? At the end of the year, let's just say what needs to be said here and we'll move on. And maybe you'll find it amusing and interesting. At least we can get a silver lining out of it. And that involves something that happened to me. I guess it started a few weeks ago. And it went on maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and it went on really intensely for like 2 weeks, and then it died down. And it was so bizarre and so intense that my listeners, particularly people in my supporting listeners group, could not believe that it was happening. That, yeah, people get criticized, and that's the way life is, but this was like out of the Twilight Zone. What was happening to me was so removed from reality that people could not believe it was happening. It was so removed from reality. And so I want to review that with you because, I don't know, I think maybe there's some value in knowing, frankly, what we're up against and also to know something of the nature of the folks that we're up against. Because what began to happen, all right, look, as some of you know, there are people in the libertarian movement and party who, shall we say, have left-wing sympathies. We have an entire libertarian socialist caucus. And people say to me, Woods, how can there be a libertarian socialist caucus? Why isn't that an oxymoron? And I come back and say, well, they have their convoluted explanation. If you feel like your one lifetime on this earth isn't filled up enough with things to do, you could go investigate that. I don't know if your life matches that description or not, but you can do that. And these are not really nice people. And they're not, you know, and I've seen people make excuses for them and they say, oh, well, they don't really favor the state. They just want blah, blah, blah. But you go to their page and it's all like, it all sounds like the Democratic Party. Like it's not even interesting. It's not even edgy. It's all, well, which Democrat am I going to wind up voting for? And we need a safety net, whatever. I mean, it's, what is this? Walter Mondale in 1983? I mean, what is this? It's not even interesting. It's not even like an interesting kind of socialism. It's just completely boring on every level. So every anti-capitalist meme you've ever seen about wage slavery and this and that's all in there, right? So these people do not care for your host here. They don't care for you either, by the way, because if you listen to me, then you are, and then you can predict the laundry list of complaints they have about you. You can predict it. You know exactly what every single one of them is. Not one of them has any connection to reality whatsoever, but you know exactly the laundry list of complaints they have. But it's not just the libertarian socialists. There are people in the movement who just have weird priorities. They tend to be, I wouldn't say pro-establishment, but they don't think the establishment is that bad. And I've read some of these people come right out and say, look, the American establishment basically is just trying to uphold a world order that has yielded us a fairly good outcome, you know, for the most part, peace and free trade. And you know, they may have their individual faults, but these people are not the devil, and we shouldn't position ourselves in that way. So these are people who would not really be horrified by somebody voting for John McCain. I mean, yeah, they would say you shouldn't do that, and, you know, John McCain's a bad guy, but their main complaint about John McCain would be, I don't know, he's a social conservative, or, you know, whatever irrelevant complaint about John McCain there is, that would be the one they're making. And on the one hand, these people complain that Woods here is a right-wing libertarian. This makes him some kind of deviationist. But on the other hand, when push comes to shove and we decide on who should be our standard bearer in the Libertarian Party in the presidential race, the old alleged right-wing fuddy-duddy here wants to nominate a radical libertarian. And these people, you know, the chic, fashionable opinion, left-wingy types, they all want to vote for, you know, retired Republican politicians and stuff. So, well, wait a minute, which one's the right-wing fuddy-duddy here? And they are convinced that Woods is some ultra-conservative. They are convinced of this. And obviously there's plenty of evidence to the contrary, but what's interesting about that, even though I have great respect for conservatives, a genuine conservative, not a Fox News, you know, airhead, but a real conservative, has something valuable to say, even when I don't always agree, has something valuable to say, doesn't demonize his opponents. Typically, a real conservative does not demonize his opponents the way the left does. Like, you're not even human. You know, I mean, there's a reason that MSNBC never, ever, ever has somebody like us on. Whereas even the neocons at Fox from time to time will have one of our people on. Because the left just demonizes you. You don't exist. If you disagree with them, it's not honorable. It's because you're a horrible person. But anyway, on this Woods is this crazy conservative thing, I was just thinking, just on the basis of the people I hang out with and people I consider to be good friends, that people in public know to be good friends of mine, none of them really are conservative. Like Scott Horton, you think there's anything conservative about Scott Horton? Or Michael Malice? If you called Michael Malice a conservative, he would never speak to you again, okay? And I mean, Michael Malice is, I don't know, we have a pretty good relationship, Michael and I. Or Dave Smith. Now, we joke about Dave Smith, the Christian conservative, but that's specifically a joke. Dave's part of the Legion of Skanks. I would not describe that as the most conservative program in the world. So I just wonder how they think I get along with my friends. But anyway, I wrote a little thing about this, and I'm calling it Woods Derangement Syndrome, because that's what it is. It's like these being really close friends of mine have said to me, look, I hang out with you all the time. I talk to you all the time. And I have never heard you talk about any of the things they accuse you of. Or I have never, not once, ever. So whatever it is they think I've done, and we're going to go through some of these things, I somehow have concealed them from my own closest friends. So at that point, you have to wonder, then what's the point? Then even if Woods were guilty of all these things, what's the practical import if even his best friends don't know about it? When am I actually going to implement my wicked secret plan? When does that actually happen? Now, I do want to clarify that this is not primarily a left-right thing where I'm on the right and they're on the left and this is the problem. Because if you look at the guest list on the Tom Woods Show, it's a pretty eclectic group. And I've had some left libertarians on the show, and we have perfectly fine conversations. Because the people I have on the show are the scholarly and intelligent ones, the ones who have actually accomplished things. Those people have no problem with me. And when I'm in town, I visit them. And it's no problem. We're fine with each other. We don't agree on everything, but like civilized people, that doesn't cause us to shun each other. We're perfectly fine and friendly. It's the ones who don't do anything at all who don't seem to care for me. The other thing I want to point out is, because you may encounter people like this in your life who attack you on obviously preposterous, bogus grounds, and attack and attack and attack. And I take some advice from Ben Settle, whom I've had on the show several times, who's my email marketing mentor. And he says, people like this, trolls, and not trolls in the good way, you know, like who are at least amusing. These people have as you can imagine, have no sense of humor whatsoever. I saw one of them get into it with Michael Malice, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to grind these people up. They have no sense of humor whatsoever. I mean, typical of the left, right? How can they have a sense of humor? Why every little aspect of their lives is a question of justice and like which deodorant can they buy or whatever. I mean, it's, I don't know how you could be these people. But anyway, Ben Settle says, these are people who spend their time attacking you and saying you're no good and this one's better and this and that, and that's their life. These are miserable people. And he says, these people are miserable in their personal lives. Somebody who is not miserable does not act like this. Just that's just a fact. So if you realize that their goal is to take their own personal misery and spread it to you, That's a very, very important insight for you to have. And if you just laugh at them or ridicule them, refuse to mention their names, they just become more and more deranged because you're not doing what they want. You know, they want you to apologize. And of course, if you apologize, that doesn't help in any way because no apology will ever be accepted by them because their entire critique of you involves mind reading. As I'll say, well, why would you think I intended such and such by that sentence? I didn't mean that by that sentence. They'll say, oh, of course you did. Okay, but wouldn't I know myself better than you would? I mean, wouldn't, so doesn't this come down to you're claiming that I'm lying about my intentions, in which case it's all about mind reading. So there's no way ever conceivably to satisfy people like this because anything you do, they'll just say is a lie or meant to mislead, whatever. Okay, whatever. Now, you may say, by the way, in parentheses here, you may say, Woods, if these people don't matter, and they don't. They don't matter in the sense that none of them have accomplished anything. None of them have written a book. None of them are on the speaking circuit. None of them have built a K-12 home school curriculum. None of them have done anything. It's true. But there are people, decent people out there, who may hear what these folks are saying, not realize that they're insane, and think badly of your host here. And I think I have a legitimate right to defend my good name, given that I have done pretty much nothing to do that in the past few years. I've just ignored these people. And I'm still not going to mention their names, and I'm still not going to direct you to them, but I am going to at least have some kind of answer so that people who want to support me will have a one-stop shop, a link they can go to that responds once and for all. And then I'll go back to being productive, unlike these people, and they can go back to, I don't know what it is they do all day, tweeting, I guess. So I actually have an article for you I'm going to link you to at the end of this episode that does accomplish all this. But I do want you to bear this in mind in your own life because I think it will help you. Anyone who acts the way the people I'm about to describe act is never happy. Not ever, not once. They are envious. They are bitter at their own lack of accomplishment. And they hate to see someone who's actually enjoying his life. And you may think, Woods, how can you be sure that these are the motives behind these people? Because of the sheer preposterousness of what they're saying about me. If these things were true, I wouldn't want to highlight them. I'd want to hide from them, hope you guys never find out about them. If there was even a smidgen of truth to any of it, I would just try and hide. But it is so deranged that I think you should see it. I think you should know what's going on. So let's start with an extremely revealing example. 15 years ago this month, my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, came out. And that did very well, 12 weeks, a New York Times bestseller, but also controversial. But that's what makes life fun, isn't it? Right? I could have written a book that just repeated the standard narrative we all got in our classrooms. I could have done that. And that would have satisfied the people criticizing me here. At the very least, it wouldn't have angered them, wouldn't have actually angered them, which is very interesting to me. To me, that angers me. The established narrative angers me. What angers them is somebody who deviates from that narrative. And they may say, oh, no, it's only alleged right-wing deviationism we disagree with. Okay, well, let's take a look at that. The libertarian socialists, in their frenzy to attack me, linked their readers to a review of my book by Max Boot. That's how deranged they are. That's how utterly unserious these people are about war. Because if you know Max Boot, he spent much of his career cheerleading every American intervention, being upset only that they didn't go far enough. He has a record of wreckage, destruction, and death, the likes of which you can hardly imagine. He's been as wrong can be, on everything he's talked about. He is a vile, despicable, horrible human being who also says that new immigrants, one of the ways they could accelerate their path to citizenship would be to enlist in the U.S. military. So even immigrants who supposedly are people that the libertarian left pretends to be so interested in, this guy wants to grind them up into the war machine, and they say, oh, let's cite his article against Woods. I mean, that's not normal, right? Would you agree with me that's not normal behavior? That you'd say, well, I'm sure there's a lot that can be said about Woods, but I think I'm going to leave the Max Boot article out of it, right? I mean, like, it's just how odd. Who would do that, right? So these people would never cite an article by me, never, even though I don't favor any of these interventions, and a lot more people would be alive. As a matter of fact, a lot more non-whites would be alive if Woods had been in charge rather than the neocons. They would never cite me, however, but they have no problem at all citing Max Boot. These people are unserious about war. And you know that even more because you look at, well, what is it that Max Boot has to say about my book that makes him so unhappy? Well, a big chunk of it is that I don't support Woodrow Wilson and his decision to involve the United States in World War I. Now, it's like I have to tell the libertarian socialists, the socialists were against World War I. That's what you're supposed to believe. Like, I have to explain to these people what their own positions are. So they cite an article against me that's unhappy that I didn't favor the U.S. getting into World War I. An actual socialist, Eugene V. Debs, languished in jail because he pointed that out at the time, that we should not favor this war. Meanwhile, in this day and age, I get alleged, whatever they're supposed to be, libertarian socialists, citing against me an article by a bloodthirsty neocon whose conclusion is Woods is a bad guy who probably supports German militarism because he didn't favor intervention into World War I. I mean, it's that level of dumb. Dumb. Also in the review, Max is very upset that I think Harry Truman was in the wrong to have sent troops to fight in the Korean War without consulting Congress. I mean, so these are the libertarian socialists. Presumably they'd be anti-war. I'm making the argument that the anti-war people at the time made, which was Truman didn't have the right to do this. Max Boot's criticism of me is that, of course, Truman had the right to do this. Why, hundreds of times presidents had sent troops into battle without consulting Congress. Ho, 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 ho. All right. You know where this hundreds of times crap came from? The State Department, the propaganda department, the State Department of 1950. Actually, they made the more modest claim, quote, more than 100 occasions. They did this to justify what Truman was doing. But when you actually look at this list of alleged precedents for sending, you know, 500,000 people overseas or whatever, it turns out that their list consists of fights with pirates, the dispatch of small bodies of troops to chase bandits or cattle rustlers across the Mexican border. They can't cite an actual example of what Truman did on any level. And so Boot is arguing that he's got all these examples of presidents sending troops into battle. And my point is, no. Those are all bogus. Every one of those examples is bogus. They tried this also at the time of the Vietnam War. They tried to say that, oh, this has been done a whole bunch of times. So in other words, Max Boot is echoing a talking point of the warfare state that they've been using for 70 years now. And it's a lie through and through. And it's a key part of Max Boot's critique of me. And this is what the libertarian socialists are citing. This is what they're citing. And they don't even cite it by saying, now look, Boot is wrong about World War I, and he's certainly wrong about deploying troops anywhere in the world they want. No, they're happy to echo warfare state propaganda. The libertarian socialists are happy, obviously very happy to echo this propaganda. Isn't that it's astonishing to me. I mean, there aren't that many libertarian socialists, but it's like each one of them runs 5 Facebook pages or something. I mean, I don't know. So you think there's more of them than there are. Then you realize, wait a minute, this is the same schmuck who runs the other 4 pages. But so anyway, so in the link I'm going to give you at the end of this episode, you'll find some discussion of the Max Boot review, which I answered, by the way, at the time. I published an article in the American Conservative magazine, which, unlike the Weekly Standard, which Max Boot wrote for, the American Conservative is anti-war. But since that's obviously not a priority for the libertarian socialists, it's when you look at the things they write about, it's like number 23, I would say, on their list. And as you can see, even there, they're squishy because they think, well, all right, sure, sending Americans into the meat grinder of World War I may have been bad, but hey, the guy's against Tom Woods. That's not normal. A normal person does not act that way. All right, so let's now go to a series of complaints that these people have against me. Now, that you would have to really go out of your way to come up with some of these. So one of them is this. Supposedly, I refused 5 times to answer which person I'd support for president if it came down to Bill Weld and David Duke. Like David Duke, what is he, a politician from the 1990s? People are still worried about David Duke, but all right. So I basically, it was some punk kid who had no manners barking out questions at me. And so I told them to go jump in a lake, as any self-respecting person would. So they took this, of course, they interpreted this the most charitable possible way. as, "Oh, Woods is apparently trying to conceal his secret desire to vote for David Duke." Could you imagine this? I mean, you guys who listen to me all the time, are you given the impression that in my heart of hearts, I'm thinking, doggone it, if only I had the chance to vote for David Duke, my life would be complete? Does that seem to vibe with anything whatsoever about me? So what actually happened was, as I said, I had this punk kid and I just, you know, why should I feel like I'm on call all the time to answer questions posed to me by people who are not of goodwill? But in my private group, and somebody apparently with better search skills than I have dug this up in my private supporting listeners group, I actually said, look, obviously I would vote for Weld in that situation. You know, if I had a gun to my head, I would vote for Weld. But I'm not telling these creeps that. Who do they think they are? So that was the answer. So what happened was, we then got one of these groups posted a poll. Which person would Tom Woods vote for, David Duke or Bill Weld? And they got all their left-wing friends to vote David Duke. Can you imagine that? So now I actually said I'd vote for Weld. I mean, the whole thing is so, it's like, what are we, in the eighth grade? It's so stupid, right? And so these people are voting this way. None of them have ever listened to me. That's the, remember, one of Woods' laws is the less frequently somebody listens to the Tom Woods show, the more bizarre their complaints. Because you folks who listen, you don't even recognize me in any of this, do you? It's absurd. So then the complaint became, well, all right, I guess he says he would vote for Weld in his private group. But look, he says with a gun to his head, so he's not voting for Weld enthusiastically enough. All right, if you can find me somebody who's voting for Weld enthusiastically, then that person is on something. Okay, that person is on some kind of stimulant. Nobody would vote for Bill Weld enthusiastically for anything under any circumstances, period. Okay, that's, take that up with Bill Weld. That ain't Woods' fault. Then a complaint was that I prepared lessons for Ron Paul's homeschool curriculum, which they refer to as Ron Paul's insane theocratic Christian homeschool indoctrination program. Okay, well, let's hear some evidence. The percentage of the Ron Paul curriculum, which, by the way, you should join at ronpaulhomeschool.com because I get an affiliate commission when you do that. And what makes these people crazy is that they're all losers and I'm not. So if you want to help build that up, use my affiliate link. And you also get a lot of bonuses at ronpaulhomeschool.com. But the percentage of the Ron Paul curriculum that you could describe as theocratic is zero. So we never get any specifics. Well, which classes promote theocracy, or which particular videos promote theocracy? Of course, you'll never get any answer because none of them have ever gone through the program. I'm busy creating programs like that. They're busy making up stories about them. That's the difference between us. I actually accomplish things and they do things like this. So I want specific, I don't want some song and dance about this or that. I want specifics. Where in the program is theocracy promoted? I mean, not only is it not theocratic, it's not even a Christian program. Because Dr. Paul made clear from the beginning that although he wanted his curriculum to be sympathetic to Christianity, it would not be a Christian curriculum per se. And that's why none of the marketing materials portray it as a Christian curriculum. And given that the Christian homeschool market is enormous, so if this really were a Christian curriculum, we would be out of our minds not to emphasize that. But it's not mentioned because it's not a Christian curriculum. Dr. Paul wanted, as in keeping with who he is, he wanted to have his program be something any family at all could use. So if he's lying about that, if Ron Paul is lying, then can you at least link me to the lessons where there's theocracy to show that he's a liar? I'd at least like to see that rather than just some ex-cathedra pronouncement from some kid. The curriculum includes the usual subjects, but also courses you might not expect, like on public speaking, starting a home business, personal finance for teens, which I think is very valuable, and a lot of helpful topics that you don't typically find in curricula like these. And if you look at the lessons that I did, the videos that I did, the topics, the theocratic aspect would, shall we say, appear to be carefully hidden. You can see the lesson titles in the link I'm going to give to you at the end of the episode. You can look at every single thing I've created. And if you look at that and say, I think this is Christian indoctrination, it's like theocracy, then there's something wrong with your brain. So although these folks describe the Ron Paul curriculum as, quote, insane, by this point I suspect you guys are getting an idea of who the insane ones really are. Now let me pause for a minute to give you one final note about a sponsor who has helped me out so much this year, and that is Blinkist. And I really want you guys to try this out because here's a chance for you to go into 2020, keeping your promise to yourself to get more done. Blinkist is for anybody who cares about learning but doesn't have a lot of time. It takes the key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction bestsellers in over 27 categories, condenses them down into 15-minute blinks, which are text and audio explainers that help you understand more about the core ideas of each book. I keep telling you, one of the things I love about Blinkist is that if I drive for an hour, I've consumed 4 books. And that's really when I use Blinkist, because I do a lot of driving because I have 5 daughters. I've recently listened to Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, and Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. Here's an easy and great way to join the 12 million people already using Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/woods to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/woods to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/woods. All right, now I'm not going to go through all these because you don't, why would you want to listen to all this? I've got it all written down. They do talk about the League of the South thing. We've all been over that a million times. There's no way to reach them on that because, again, it's mind reading. I say to them, but look, it was obviously a completely different organization. That was obvious to everyone. Even the Southern Poverty Law Center admits that. It was obviously a completely different organization, and then we left. But let me give you an example that really, really shows you how little honor these people have. And I know I say honor, and that sounds like some right-wing anachronism to these people. But I really do mean this, that they have no honor, that I wouldn't do this to them. I wouldn't actually, no matter how much I think they deserve to be criticized, I wouldn't actually make things up about them. You know, I wouldn't do that. The way, like the libertarian socialists said something like, Woods has these questionable past associations with, and then they listed a few people. One of them was Ron Paul. They think Ron Paul is a white supremacist. There's no satisfying somebody like that. So why bother trying? Just keep going, right? That's the best revenge. Just keep going. Just keep building your audience. Keep working. Keep producing stuff. Keep influencing people. That's what you do. That's how you respond to people like that. But the other one was, and his association with David Duke. Folks, I have no association with David Duke whatsoever, but I know you knew that, and I didn't even need to tell you. I know you knew that already, because that's one of these left-wing complaints that you knew was false before I said it was false. Like when at Bowling Green, you remember that story of that young student who said she saw a Ku Klux Klan rally going on in one of the classrooms. Now, before you even get in, you know that's false, right? You know that's typical left-wing hysteria. You know that's false. You know there is no way on any college campus there is going to be a Klan rally. Why would there be? Why would the Klan use a college campus classroom? And what administrator would give the room to that? I mean, you'd have to be completely tone deaf about the nature of American life to think that's even conceivable. Well, it turns out what she was looking at was a piece of laboratory equipment that had a white coat over it. And she took this to be a Ku Klux Klan rally. So it would have been a rally consisting of one person who was completely immobile the whole time. So you knew this was false, right? So likewise, the thing about Woods is, I'll give $10,000 to their favorite charity if they can find what my possible association with a man I've never met, spoken to, not had the slightest interest in meeting or speaking to, would possibly be. Well, anyway, this one I think you just need to hear because it shows you what they're trying to do. Now, it has not succeeded, thankfully. I mean, for heaven's sake, I just won the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award from the Austrian Economic Center and the Hayek Institute in Vienna at age 47, which is, no small accomplishment. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that in general, they don't award that prize to white supremacists. That's just my instinct on how these things work. So it doesn't strictly matter, but for the record, so you know what I'm dealing with here, I had a fellow named Christopher Cantwell on the program about 5 and a half years ago. And that is cited as evidence of my wickedness. So let's go into that. First of all, I had a left-wing sociology professor come on arguing for the abolition of the sex offender registry. You never know what you're going to get on the Tom Woods show, but it's usually a fairly interesting discussion. So if you listen to that episode, it's actually pretty plain vanilla stuff. Cantwell, as you may know, became radicalized, moving toward white nationalism around 2017. So that would be about 2 years ago. And so this is cited against me. Well, look, he had this person on his show. So that goes to show that he's sympathetic with these causes. But of course, I had the person on the show years before he was associated with those causes. But this is not enough because Woods is expected to know where people are going to go ideologically in their lives. But at the time I had him on, he was still a co-host at Free Talk Live. So if unless we're going to ramp the hysteria level up to 11 and accuse now the Free State Project of white supremacy, I think, you know, you're asking a bit too much of me when his own co-host, Ian Freeman, said, look, he was a Ron Paul ANCAP at the time. That was it. I mean, only very recently did we see any of this streak in him. So what, I'm supposed to know him better than his own co-host and then anticipate where he's going 3 years later? I mean, come on now. This is stupid. Well, anyway, so what they do is, in that episode, I said to him something along the lines of, I'm glad you're saying the things you're saying because I certainly can't say them because I would start a civil war if I did. So what they do is they take that quotation from 2014 and then with no date, they put it out there and say, see what he said to Cantwell? Thanks for saying the things I wish I could say. Now that is, I think of all the, I mean, I've been attacked by all kinds of crazy people in my life. I've been attacked by neocons. I've been attacked by some traditional Catholics who don't like me for my economics and stuff. I've been attacked by distributists. I've been attacked by socialists, left liberals, whatever. But this has to be the craziest and most absurd and most obviously unfair as well. Because what I was, so what, in other words, what they're trying to make it sound like is I'm saying, Chris, I'm so glad you're saying those anti-Semitic things because I can't say them. First of all, that doesn't even make sense. Why would I say that publicly? I mean, how is that better than actually saying anti-Semitic things? How would that be better? I mean, if I were actually saying, Chris, I'm so glad you are really getting the Jews and saying those anti-Semitic things because I don't dare say those things, but thank goodness you're saying them. How would that help me, right? How is that to my benefit? I may as well just say the anti-Semitic things at that point. So their interpretation, which they know is false because they know the dates involved, they obviously know it's false, but that doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's only probably 3% better to say, Chris, I'm glad you're the one making the anti-Semitic remarks and not me. That's only 3% better to say that than to actually make the anti-Semitic remarks. So what did I mean by that? Well, you can go back to the episode and listen to it for yourself. What I meant was in 2014, Chris had written a number of articles against some, let's just say, not very bright critics of mine and of a bunch of other people that I thought were pretty good. And I was, and the thing is, if I respond to those people, first of all, I don't want to dignify them. I don't want them even to know that I'm aware of their existence. And secondly, because I'm with the Mises Institute, then there's this institutional baggage that if I launch an attack on them, it's viewed as a Mises Institute attack on them. And then I've got an institutional civil war in my hands that I don't particularly want to start. That's what I meant, because that was what we were talking about in that conversation. So can you believe, I mean, it's breathtaking how little honor these people have. That's what they're trying to do to me in that situation. So when you see how they distort that, or they just made the David Duke stuff up completely, or there was a member of, I call these people the loser brigade because none of them have accomplished anything. One of these people went around the Libertarian Convention in 2018 saying that Woods thinks it should be illegal for women to work outside the home. Illegal. Now, I have never in my life so much as even thought that, much less advocated it. So again, if you can find me advocating that, I'll give you $10,000 for your favorite charity. There's none of that. When you see, you realize that when they make accusations about me, you can just put in the back of your mind, all right, well, there's obviously the, you know, I trust Woods. I'm sure there's some explanation, but it can't be what these people are saying. Impossible. Cannot be. Now, much as I really, really hate to do this, I'm sure in light of what I've just described to you, you will forgive me for it. But I did in this piece I wrote, and you'll find it at tomwoods.com/WDS. That stands for Woods Derangement Syndrome. tomwoods.com/WDS. But I am going to go over it with you right now for just a few minutes. I did actually provide an accounting of what I've been up to, what I've accomplished. I have done some things for the libertarian movement over the years, and I listed them because I do think this is relevant. because I'm devoting an episode of my podcast to people who haven't accomplished collectively what I think, frankly, I've accomplished in a typical 3 months. So 10 years ago, we had the financial crisis that was still bubbling over from 2008. And I wrote Meltdown because I was afraid that everybody was just going to jump on board with deregulation caused it and blah, blah. There need to be something out there that gave the Austrian point of view. So I wrote Meltdown. Well, it was a New York Times bestseller for 10 years. Now, most of the people in the Loser Brigade are not particularly anti-Fed because to them that's an embarrassment because the establishment isn't anti-Fed and they don't want to be embarrassing. So maybe they'll favor some monetary rule for the Fed or some bogus thing that doesn't work or that's irrelevant or that doesn't solve the problem. But very, very rare, if not non-existent, to find one of them actually saying end the Fed. So it's so funny. They're craving establishment approval. And yet I'm the right-wing fuddy-duddy. No, you know, it's the other way around. I mean, I'm the one who wants to burn it all to the ground, right? I mean, figuratively speaking, obviously. So I was writing Meltdown at the time when libertarianism was really taking a hit because of the financial crisis. What were they doing? I have no idea. I created 400 homeschool videos for the Ron Paul curriculum. It took 2 years of my life going at breakneck speed in order to help homeschoolers learn a lot of stuff that took me 20 years to learn. They can learn it in a couple of years. And I think that's valuable. That'll be valuable for years and years and generations to come. And I did that at the expense of, well, let's say I paid a heavy price doing that. It was an enormous, enormous amount of work. And it was very bad for my health and many other things. But I did it because I believed in this cause. I don't earn very much money from that, by the way. I did it because I believed in that cause. What were they? Where's their K-12 homeschool curriculum? Would not occur to them to create one. I wrote a book called We Who Dare to Say No to War with the late Murray Polner, who was on the hard left. And we got a starred review from Publishers Weekly. We got it published with Basic Books, which is a very prominent publisher. Ralph Nader bought 1,200 copies. What were these people doing? Oh, flapping their gums about how we need to reach out to the left. But do they? Do they do anything like what I just did? So they're not even good on that. I haven't beat them on reaching out to the left. Then the Iowa Republican Party reached out to me several years ago and said, come to Iowa and give some lectures officially as a part of the Iowa Republican Party. So I did that. And one of those lectures consisted of me, in my usual polite but firm way, telling people in that audience that they better knock off the warmongering because it's morally unacceptable and it doesn't even work. All right. What were these people? What was the Loser Brigade doing at that time? Well, of course, nothing, because nobody would ever have invited them. Meanwhile, as you know from the last episode, we just released a documentary on the last financial crisis, and our New York City panel had featured luminaries from around the financial world. Meanwhile, what are these people doing? Tweeting? That's their contribution? Now, at the end, I'm going to tell you what one of the motives clearly is behind this sudden series of attacks. I'm going to tell you, and suddenly it'll all make sense. But again, given that what they tried to do to me, I mean, the thing is, don't worry about it, because their attacks, it's like I'm the Washington Monument and they're a handful of pebbles being thrown at me. So it's you don't have to worry that you have to go around defending me or whatever. It makes no difference. No one's ever heard of these people. It doesn't matter. But you should know that this phenomenon exists because this phenomenon can be found in the Libertarian Party. That's for sure. So you should be aware of it. So again, because of how vile these attacks are, I do feel it necessary to pause for a couple of minutes to review something about my past. So I just told you, 2019, I got the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award. This has also been given to Deirdre McCloskey and Peter Thiel and Arthur Laffer, who were not, to my knowledge, right-wing extremists. In 2008, I spoke at Ron Paul's Rally for the Republic, and I opened for him in many cities after that to crowds of thousands. I wrote the mission statement and the statement of principles for Campaign for Liberty, the organization he created after the 2008 campaign. And Dr. Paul actually asked me to run that organization, but I would have had to move, and I didn't want to move. I had a young family. We had just got settled in, and I didn't want to move. But so I was actually going to run Campaign for Liberty. I've written 12 books, which have been translated into over a dozen languages. They've been published by Columbia University Press, Basic Books, Random House, other prominent publishers. These include two New York Times bestsellers. I created my own dashboard university called libertyclassroom.com, where other faculty and I teach courses in history, economics, and related fields from a libertarian perspective. I can't change the existing universities, but I can create something of my own for the libertarian world, and that's what I did. I told you about the 400 videos I created for the Ron Paul Homeschool curriculum at ronpaulhomeschool.com. I've released over 1,500 episodes of this podcast, The Tom Woods Show, and my guest list reads like a who's who of the libertarian movement. Gene Epstein, formerly of Barron's, and you know Gene Epstein, his son Jim from the Reason Foundation, say that mine is the most ecumenical libertarian podcast in existence. So if the claim is that I'm a terrible right-winger, go look up the word ecumenical. With Bob Murphy, I've released over 200 episodes of Contra Krugman, the podcast we do, teaching economics by uncovering the errors of Krugman. My book, The Church and the Market, won the $50,000 first prize in the Templeton Enterprise Awards. I'm co-editor of Exploring American History from Colonial Times to 1877, an 11-volume encyclopedia. And I've gotten enthusiastic endorsements of my work from Ron Paul, Peter Schiff, David Stockman of the Reagan administration, Barry Goldwater Jr., and Judge Andrew Napolitano, who, by the way, is the godfather of my daughter, Sarah. My work has been favorably reviewed in the Journal of American History, the American Historical Review, Publishers Weekly, and numerous other academic and popular periodicals. Now, is it metaphysically impossible that a person matching this description could be a white supremacist or whatever it is they're calling me? No, I suppose it's not metaphysically impossible, but is it highly, highly unlikely? Well, the question would appear to answer itself. So why would all these attacks occur all at the same time? Here's the answer. Because of what I'm doing with the Libertarian Party. Scott Horton came on this program and said, look, we have a chance with Jacob Hornberger to actually have a real live radical libertarian on the ticket for a change. For the first time, you can argue about Michael Bednarik, but really, probably the first time since Harry Brown, we can have that with Hornberger, and we can bring back some of the spirit of the Ron Paul Revolution, and not one of these watered-down embarrassments who doesn't even know what libertarianism is, hasn't read a book on it, can't answer basic questions. Forget that. Like, we can actually do it. We can actually have our message out there. So let's recruit people. This is a party that at the time we started this didn't even have 15,000 paid members, okay? If you want the Libertarian Party, you can have it. That was our point. You can have it. And you may say, well, I don't care about the Libertarian Party. But you know what? It's got the word libertarian in the name. So if it is doing a lousy job of defending our ideas or even giving the people the wrong idea about what our ideas are, that does reflect on you. That does matter to you, whether you like it or not. So I have a special recruitment link to bring people over to the Libertarian Party, to get them in there, and potentially to get folks to register as delegates and go to the convention and support Hornberger or make leadership changes or whatever we want to do. So at tomwoods.com/1562, I'll have that link, and I'll also have the what to do next link. Like, once you join, what should you do next? I'm going to have that in there as well. So my link is tomwoods.com/LP. LP, obviously, for Libertarian Party. tomwoods.com/LP. That link clearly sends a message about where the new members are coming from. Well, I've had a deluge of new members, thanks to you guys, come into the Libertarian Party. And these people are horrified because they say that you guys are all, I mean, can you believe it? You guys are white nationalists and white supremacists and bad people and all that. And so they are submitting an official protest that the quality of these recruits is very poor. They don't know a single person I've brought in, but they're sure that you people are terrible. You people are very smart because we've done the demographic surveys. Like, I've asked for surveys to be done in the past. You guys are highly educated, very successful, the very sort of people they should want in the party. But they're trying to get my link revoked, which is not going to happen. They're trying to get that link revoked because how dare the Libertarian Party be associated with Woods, this whole thing. So the idea then was to demonize me completely, just throw things at me, just crazy accusations. Whether they have any facts to them doesn't matter. Just throw the accusations out there to demonize and toxify me so as to undermine this little project of mine, because this is the last thing they want. They want the Libertarian Party full of either outright left-wingers like the Libertarian Socialists or water carriers for the establishment. I mean, yeah, the lefties might not be entirely comfortable with the establishment, but that's much better than old Woods here, who really does want to make radical changes. That's much better than old Woods. So, you want to join me? You want to be part of this? You want to fight back against this? And for years, good libertarians have had their good names smeared. And I think these people thought they could get away with this forever. Well, no such luck, Chuck. We're coming. That's it. It's over. You're not doing this to us anymore. It's outrageous the people they will highlight as compared to the people they will demonize. And not even saying, look, we respect so-and-so for his work in X, but we really disagree with him on, there's never any subtlety. It's just been character assassination for years between the leadership and these fringe people. The fringe people never get scolded. The libertarian socialists, when was the last time they got scolded? I don't know. Maybe they've been scolded. It's not very obvious to me if and when that's happened. So we have a chance. We can take this thing back if we want to. For normal libertarianism, for Harry Brown, the kind of guy who converted Scott Horton, the kind of guy who converted Michael Bolden, who runs the 10th Amendment Center. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he didn't get as many votes as Gary Johnson. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. But what is the lasting legacy of Gary Johnson? Did he create a Scott Horton for us? A Scott Horton who's like 10 people? Did he create a Michael Bolden who created the 10th Amendment Center? Does he inspire that? So this is our chance. So go to tomwoods.com/LP and join me over there. I did it. I'm not asking you to do anything I didn't do. I did it. And it's about time we hit back. Because everybody's been telling me, oh, just ignore these people, ignore these people. And I have. I have ignored them. But enough's enough. I think I've been quite reasonable up to now. But now we fight back. That's it. If you listen to me regularly, you are also being targeted by these people. And if you are tired of that, then join me and join Scott Horton and join Dave Smith, because we're all part of this. We're all doing this. If you don't want to be part of Revenge of the Nerds over here who are attacking us, but you'd rather be in the cool group, I assure you the cool group is Smith, Horton, Woods. You can join that cool group over at tomwoods.com/LP. I'll see you there. Happy New Year, everybody.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.